Thank you, God, so much that we have this time and this place and this privilege of being together to consider your word. And we pray that you would help us and that you would be at work by your Holy Spirit in your hearts as we think about your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Ralph didn't mention was that we were working at a Bible college in Namibia called NETS, and that usually I was working in remote areas and helping pastors and just other little community leaders who didn't understand the Bible so clearly and didn't really know what the gospel is to be able to read the God's word, to be able to think about Jesus, and to be able to explain that to other people. But I was having a conversation one day with somebody who wasn't a believer. This is not in Namibia. And I was explaining what I was doing. And they said to me, "What a waste. Why would you want to do something like that? Surely a place like Namibia has got so many needs, physical needs. You know, there are people that are hungry in Namibia. There are children who need better homes. Maybe they need education. There needs to be healthy drinking water provided. There needs to be better medical services. What a waste to go there and explain the Bible." Now, none of us like waste. Certainly I don't. As my children have grown up, I've become a bit of a waste Nazi, wandering around, stomping around the house and trying to cut down waste. Like I turn off lights that are being not being used, and turn off taps that are dripping, and I give long lectures about not wasting food, not being picky, and just generally being a bit unpleasant and being very self-righteous about not wasting. And maybe some of you can relate to that. Anybody? Is that the self-righteous part? And it reminded me of another story in Namibia, where although Namibia is a very dry country, there are sometimes floods in the north. And then what happens when there's a flood like that, then the people are moved into a temporary camp somewhere, and then there are appeals for food and blankets and things. And once when this happened, and we were in Namibia, and then a company offered to truck up a whole lot of Weet-Bix to the north, a whole truck full of Weet-Bix, and everybody was very happy about that. And soon after that happened, it was discovered that this Weet-Bix had expired by 2 weeks. And so there was a lot of shame and embarrassment, and this company was forced to go and send their trucks up again to take all this Weet-Bix back again and take it back to the capital and throw it on the tip. And then I was gnashing my teeth about the waste, and don't worry, it wasn't wasted on the tip. There are a lot of people that made their living off the tip, so it wouldn't have been wasted. Don't worry, Drinda. But anyway, that idea of waste caught my attention in the story, along with something else. So why don't we have a look? You know, I hope you've got your Bible open in Mark chapter 14. And so I'm entitling this little sermon, "Mission, What a Waste." Well, what happens in the story, you probably know it quite well. Jesus is at a dinner. It's at a place called Bethany, which is a little village about 2 kilometers outside of Jerusalem. And it's at the time of Passover. That's the time when the Jews celebrated how their nation was delivered out of Egypt, how God passed over, the angel of death passed over the Israelite families in Egypt in that story that we heard from in Exodus by putting the blood of a lamb on the doorposts and on the lintels. So they're about to celebrate the Passover and Jesus is at a dinner and a man called Simon the leper. Obviously, this is a man that Jesus has healed and he was known as Simon the leper. He can't have leprosy now anymore, but he was sick. And then this lady comes in and she anoints him. She pours valuable oil over his head. And that idea of anointing also reminded me of something in Namibia where in certain contexts you have a lot of anointing, often in the name of Christianity, because there are a lot of supposed Christians in Namibia, but because people aren't taught well, there are a lot of erroneous beliefs and wrong teachings. And so at this particular church, if you go and get your holy oil, you can get a lot of your problems solved. You can using this oil, you can get employment. You can get your long lost lover back again and you can chase away bad luck. So a lot of anointing going on in Namibia. Very dodgily. But this oil that this woman is using is apparently also called spikenard, made from a plant of the valerian family, which I googled nard, and I found out it comes from this plant that grows in India and the Himalayas. And it's got a lot of uses. It's got medicinal uses, and it can be used in a religious context, can last a long time. So it's very valuable stuff. In fact, we read in the Bible that in verse 5, it says it could have been sold for more than a year's wages. So this is an expensive thing that somebody's pouring over Jesus' head. I thought, what is a year's wages for an average Australian? Maybe around $50,000? $50,000. Wow. Imagine if somebody came here with something worth $50,000 and basically poured it over somebody's head, maybe Tim Baxter's head. You know, it might be a nice way to honor him, but gee, I'm sure there are a few church projects that you could use $50,000 for. You could put a deposit down for a house, buy a car for $50,000. You know, I can understand this. You could be forgiven for thinking that this was a waste. Now, what does Jesus think about this? Well, let's have a look at what he says. Verse 6. Leave her alone, says Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She's done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them any time you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Now, when Ralph was talking about that a little earlier, I thought he was almost going to preach my sermon for me. But it's very interesting the fact that Jesus says that this lady's act was an act of preparation for his burial. Now, who is this lady? It seems that she is Mary, the sister of Martha. She's called Mary of Bethany. And their brother was Lazarus. And you can actually read the same story in John chapter 12. And in John chapter 12, you also see that the main ringleader of the disciples who's complaining is a guy called Judas. Don't know if you've heard of him. But certainly he's not alone. He's got the others on side with him. And Mary is preparing Jesus. Mary is doing what she could to prepare Jesus for his burial. So is it a waste according to Jesus? No ways. But what about these things that Jesus said? See, it seems that Mary knew exactly who Jesus was. It was clear for her. Even when her brother was raised from the dead, Mary knew that Jesus was the king. He was the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah. And, you know, Jesus had been talking many, many times about his death. And it might have been quite obvious that the authorities of the day were planning and plotting to put Jesus to death. So she probably knew that he was going to die. And there was nothing that she could do about it. She couldn't go and give a representation at the Sanhedrin to say, look, Pharisees, high priests, he's a good guy. She couldn't do that. She was only a woman. She couldn't go and pay a visit to Pilate and say, you know, look, there's something bad happening here. Can you take some steps to prevent it? She couldn't. What does she do? She seems to honor Jesus in a most unbelievably lavish way. We might think that this was an impulsive thing that she did, just on the spur of the moment. But I don't think so. Remember, they're at the house of Simon the leper. That's in verse 3. And that means that they weren't at their own house. They also lived in Bethany. But this oil that she's bringing to Jesus, she would have had to have planned how to bring it, probably from her own house. What was it doing there in the first place? Well, it was probably like a family investment. That's what people would do with this oil. They would keep it as a family investment. They couldn't go and take their money to AMP or get term deposits in the bank, but they could buy something like this very expensive oil that would last a long time. And they would maybe keep it for a rainy day, keep it to buy a field or when there was trouble. Or parents would give it to their children as the inheritance. And this belonged probably to their family, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And she would have had to have thought about how does she had to plan how is she going to get it from her house to Simon's house. You know, she couldn't just carry, you know, walk around with it in her hand. People would be asking her, what are you doing with that? Maybe Mary, maybe Martha and Lazarus would have done that. So, under a cloak, in secret. And she didn't just, if she wanted to honor Jesus, she didn't just go to the market and buy some olive oil just to pour over his head. She used the most expensive stuff she could think about, which was her family investment. And she wanted to make known who Jesus was and what he was planning to do. And she wanted to make it known not only to Jesus that she knew, but even to the disciples and the people who were having dinner with her. And evidently the disciples had some learning to do, even though they were Christians. So I think this was a planned public proclamation of who she knew Jesus was and what he was going to do in the most lavish way possible. And was it wasteful? No. How could it be? Jesus was and is the most infinitely valuable and glorious person who has ever existed and will ever exist in all eternity, the Messiah, the God, the Son. And what he was about to do is the most effective priestly act that has ever been performed in all of history, turning God's wrath away from people like you and me onto himself, becoming the real Passover lamb. So is Jesus not concerned about the poor? Because he mentions the poor there. He says, verse 7. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them any time you want. We might misunderstand Jesus that he doesn't care about poor people, people that are suffering. Well, that's not true. But that's not what this passage is about. It is about how infinitely valuable Jesus is and about how infinitely valuable his death is. And it's about Mary using an opportunity to make that known, doing what she could, as Ralph was telling us at the beginning of the service. And I think that's what mission is all about. It's about making known who Jesus is. It's about explaining and proclaiming what his death is about and how wonderful it is for us and how precious it is for us and for every single person in the world. To do it properly takes a lot of planning and thinking. So I feel so blessed to have been part of CMS, to be still part of CMS and the history and the experience that they've built up for more than 200 years. It takes a lot of resources, mission does. A lavish amount of resources. It might seem wasteful to some who don't truly understand who Jesus is or how important his death is for themselves or for the world. But it's also about using opportunities. Doing what you can. Yeah, I was reading on the internet that, you know, in Indonesia, for example, there are about just under 800 people groups. And of those 800 people groups, there are over 200 unreached people groups. And that blows my mind. One unreached people group blows my mind. What can we do about that? What can you do about that? Doesn't seem like much. Maybe like Mary couldn't do much, but she did what she could. Maybe we can do what we can as well. You might not be able to do much, but you can't. It's not that you can do nothing. And that's why I'm so excited to be again part of CMS, because CMS provides ways of people being involved, encouraging people to pray, to care, to give, to go, to become members. Simply praying, getting signing up for a regular newsletter personally is a way of doing something. Becoming a regular giver, $10 a month is a way of doing something. Doing what you can. Maybe encouraging someone in church to go. Go to a faraway place to preach the gospel or to just go across the street. Encouraging Tim Baxter or Foss to go and do it. Or maybe one of your children. Or maybe you yourself going. Places like Indonesia are very difficult to get into on pure Christian visas. But you can go if you've got some skill. If you've got some academic or work skill, farming skill. People like yourselves are needed. So I want to urge you today to consider or to think about doing what you can, just like Mary did, just like she had to plan. I want you to be more wasteful. I want to encourage you to see Jesus proclaimed, not only in Narrabri, but all around the world, who Jesus is and what he came to do. Let's all use our opportunity to plan, to publicly proclaim who Jesus is and what he came to do in the most lavish way possible. God bless you.